Good morning.
Let's bow our heads.
Our Lord and our King, we thank you so much for these wonderful moments that you have given us to come and worship you and exalt you with all that we are and all that we have, O Lord. Even as we want to read your word and listen to your word, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you please open your Bibles in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. I am going to be reading from ESV, the English Standard Version. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Praise the Lord. I think one of the best ways to try to understand the book of Ephesians is to look how Paul divided this book. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this book, actually divides it in two parts. From in our English Bibles, from chapter 1 to chapter 3, he talks about what has happened to the believer. He talks about his identity, his new identity in Christ. Who is a believer in Christ? He talks about in chapter 2 how we were dead in sin and trespasses, all of us. And now he talks about how we have received the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ by saving us from our sins. Now we are alive in him. Just listen to different passages in chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 3. In Christ we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. In Christ, chapter 1, verse 4. We are holy and blameless before him. Chapter 1, verse 7, in Christ we have been forgiven through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Chapter 1, verse 13, in Christ we are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Chapter 2, verse 5, we are alive together with Christ. Chapter 2, verse 10, created for good works. Chapter 2, verse 19, we are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Chapter 3, verse 12, we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. So, from chapter 1 to chapter 3, he talks about what we have become as Christian. And then from chapter 4 to chapter 6, he talks about what are we supposed to do in light of what we have become. And I think that's one of the best ways to understand this book of Ephesians. And he does the same thing with the book of Romans. From chapter 1 to chapter 11, he talks about the mercies of God, what we have become in Christ. And then from 12 to 16, he talks now the practicality of it. What are we supposed to do now in light of who we are? And I think the second way to try to understand the book of Ephesians is saying simply this: the believer is at peace with God and at war with the devil. Chapter 1, verse 3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. We are blessed, we have this peace with God because of our salvation in Christ. And now he moves all the way up to chapter 6. He talks how all of us as believers are at war with the devil. Chapter 6, verse 11, 10 to 13, he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Listen, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you're at peace with God, but you're also at war with the devil. And I'll suggest that the opposite is also true. If you do not know Jesus Christ, if you do not follow Jesus Christ, if you're not a believer, you are at peace with the devil and at war with God. It's so clear in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, it says, "The mind that is set on the flesh is what? Is hostile to God." Even in John chapter 8, verse 44, when Jesus was addressing to the unbelieving Jews, he said, "You have of your father the devil." So if you do not know Jesus Christ, you are at war with God because your mind is hostile to God. And then you are at peace with the devil. And this is a strong language that Jesus used, saying that you have of your father the devil. That's a strong language, but it's a reality. You know, we live in the culture that does not know how to define sin. We define sin in terms of the things that we do and the things that we don't do. And I would suggest that's actually the consequences of sin. And I think the best way to define sin is simply saying is rebellion against God. It's like giving a blow in the face of God. It's rebellion against the holy God. Try to think about a rebel group that invade a country. The rebels as an opposition to the ruling government. They are coming to fight the government. They are opposing the government. That's why actually we say rebellion. That's why we say these are rebels, because they are opposing the ruling authority. And I think it's the same way with our relationship with God. If your mind is hostile to God, you are leaving, you're opposing God's authority over your life. You know, sin says, "I can do without God. I can be happy without God. I can lead on my life without God. I don't need God." Sin is actually being God over yourself. I am God. That's actually what sin is all about. So if you do not know Jesus Christ, if you are living in sin, and I'm not saying that, in saying this, I'm not saying that believers don't sin. I'm saying those who have refused to believe in the salvation, the gift, to receive the gift of salvation, their mind are hostile to the holy God. But the opposite is true. If you are a believer, every believer is at peace with God. You have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. You have your inheritance in heaven. Your position in Christ is secured because he died for you. It's not you're at peace with God. And until we meet with the Lord face to face as believers, we will always be at war with devil, against sin, against the principalities and powers of this darkened world. And so the question is, if we are at peace with God, if as believers we have peace with the Holy God, now how are we supposed to live out that peace? How are we supposed to live out that peace that we have with God? That's why I invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. After explaining what we have become in Christ, after saying how we were dead in sin and trespasses, after saying that we used to obey the devil, after saying all that things, after saying that now we are saved by Jesus Christ, now we are one with him, now we are united with him, how are we supposed to live now? And that's what actually Paul wants us to know. How are we supposed to live? He say, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord. How many of us can boast in the sufferings that we experience for the Lord, for Christ himself? Paul is not ashamed to call himself a prisoner for the Lord. He has been in prison because of preaching God's word. He explains in different parts of the epistles how he suffered for the salvation of the Gentiles and Jews. And he boasts in that, saying, I, the prisoner for the Lord. Not the prisoner for the king, but the prisoner for serving Christ himself. I urge you, in other words, I plead with you. Would you please live in the way that reflects who you are? Would you please behave in the way that really reflects this peace that you have in Christ? Would you please do that? That's what actually Paul is talking about. I urge you, I exhort you, I beg you, I encourage you. Could you please walk in the manner that reflects who you are in Jesus Christ? Could you please walk or live or lead a life in the way that reflects that you are a Christian, that you have this peace with God? Would you please do that? To walk, to live, to conduct your life in the way worthy of the calling. You have been called to be a saint. You have been called to be holy in Jesus Christ. When Paul addresses his books to different churches, he always say to the saints, for example, in Corinth, to the saints in this place. What does that mean? You have been made saint through Jesus Christ. Now, would you please walk in a manner that reflects that? You know, the Christian life can be defined simply like this, is becoming what you are already in Jesus Christ. Peter said, be holy as God is holy. Become what you are in Jesus Christ. Now he explains how we are supposed to walk, how we are supposed to conduct our lives. He said, with all humility. With all humility. How many times do we boast about our degrees? How many times do we boast about the money we have, the kind of car we drive? How many times do we boast in those earthly things, the things that we're going to leave in this world? How many times do we boast in having such and such? But he's calling us to walk, to conduct our lives in humility and gentleness. When actually we look at how we were dead in sin and trespasses, we were hostile, our minds were hostile to God. And now Jesus Christ come and save us, and making us one with him. We should lead our life in humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Love in this passage actually, as you know, in the Greek word, it means agape, which means making sacrifice for. Are we sacrificing our lives for others? Do we do that? Bearing with one another. Are we bearing with one another's faults? And the last closed, well, I would like to spend a short time here. He says, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Being diligent to labor, to make every effort to maintain, to keep the unity. We have been united in Christ. In Christ, we are one as believers. Are we making every effort to keep this unity? Or are we making to destroy this unity? Are we working to destroy this unity? Or are we working to maintain it? And listen to what actually he writes. The unity of the Spirit. For those who study English, actually, this is a possessive case. The unity of the Spirit. This unity does not belong to you, does not belong to me. It belongs to the Holy Spirit. When we use a possessive, it means the source of unity is the Holy Spirit. He is the source of this unity. When he made you one with the Lord, when the Holy Spirit opened your heart to receive the good news, to receive the gospel, to receive him. In Colossians, Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When he opened your heart so that you may receive Christ, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. He put you in this body of believers. He made you one with the Lord. As the church, we are one. We only have one master, one head, and this is Christ himself. Are we maintaining that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? Or are we destroying that unity? We have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are one with him. We have peace with him. Are we maintaining that peace? But we are celebrating Christmas. We are celebrating about this peace that came to us. You know, Christmas is not all about the baby in the manger. When actually we are celebrating Christmas, we are looking at what Christ is coming to accomplish, about what this baby is coming to accomplish. We cannot talk about Christmas without the cross of Jesus Christ. We cannot talk about Christmas, about the Savior who comes in humility to save us. When we talk about Christmas, we are not singing about this baby only. We are talking about what to accomplish in our lives. Making us one, uniting us with God. We were enemy of God, but now we are friends with God. And no matter what happens, He says He shall never leave you nor forsake you. He uses every means to make you more like Jesus Christ every single day. That's why Paul says, can suffering separate us from the Lord, from the love of God? By no means, no. He came to save you so that you may be one with Him. Galatians 4 says, at the right time, Jesus Christ came to redeem us and to give us adoption. We are now children of the Most High God. Would you now please lead your life in the manner that reflects that reality? Would you please do that? That's actually what Paul is talking about here. It's unchristian, really, when we try to create clusters in the church or groups in the church that you cannot associate with others because they don't look like you. It's really unchristian to do that. We are united in the bond of peace. We have this unity of the Holy Spirit. Now it is our call to maintain that peace that we have. Let me repeat it again. As a believer, you are at peace with God and at war with the devil. And we don't need to fear. As we have sung today, victory, the victory is ours in Jesus Christ. We don't need to fear. That's why he says, be strong in the Lord. It's only in the Lord that we can be strong. It's only in the Lord that we can win this victory. Outside of the Lord, we cannot win the daily battles we lead against sin, against the devil, against the flesh. And we don't need to fear because the victory is ours in Jesus Christ. And once again, if you do not know Jesus Christ, as Romans has said, your mind is hostile to God. And would you please give your life to Jesus Christ if you do not know Him? And if what we are saying here does not make sense, you can even actually see the pastor or one of the congregants and see, you say to them, I really want to know this Christ they are talking about. Would you please enter in this peace that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ? It's by grace that we have been saved. Would you please receive this grace and be part of this unity of believers? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, as we are looking forward to celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, may you help us all to look at the cross. Let our gaze be fixed on the cross, knowing that one day we were dead in sin and trespasses. We could not relate to you. But now, with the coming of Jesus Christ, we can boldly come to you. We are united with you, O Lord. May you help us to keep this unity. May you help us, Lord, in our weaknesses. We are so weak. Help us. Be our strength. Lord, you said in John 15, apart from you, we can do nothing. Help us, Lord. Help us to live out this Christian life. Even though sometimes it's really hard, Lord, to lead this life, but would you please help us, oh Lord, in our weaknesses. Help us, Lord, to love one another with all humility, love, and gentleness, oh Lord. That, Lord, when people look at Gomaville, at the English service, they will actually say, these are united with him. These are united with their master. These are united with their Lord, with their God who redeemed them from their sins. Blessed be your name, O Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.